Hey, this is Barry William E. Magliditi back for another episode of the Comeback Game podcast. Today I'm joined by Bobby F. Paraha. Bobby's originally started the corporate world and through a change in things led him to discover his own spirituality and coaching business. Bobby F. Paraha, entrepreneur, success coach, and is here to help upgrade your life completely from business to love, purpose to family. Bobby creates clarity around your life and gives you the inside track on creating your success. Bobby, how you doing, man?
Good, brother. Super excited. I can't believe this is happening right now. I appreciate you so much for having me here.
So for those of you that are listening, watching right now and have followed us for some time, you'd probably recall a recent episode where I interviewed Clint X. Morgan. And Clint shared on that interview how he got the X to his name, how there was an upgrade in there from a numerological perspective. And I thought, man, I've just got to explore this. I've got to find out where this thread goes. And that led me to obviously catching up with Bobby F. and having a chat to him, chatting all things business, life, spirituality, numerology, very interesting character. So I thought, hey, there'd be a bunch of you guys out there that are probably curious to understand more based on the interview with Clint. So I thought that I'd do everyone a favor and get Bobby on the line. So Bobby, let's kick off, mate. Share with the viewers and listeners out there today a little bit about you, a little bit about your background.
I don't know where to begin. I've had a lot of jobs. Like, I was the guy who can get hired anywhere and get fired everywhere. Like, it was just really tough because, like, I'd win the interview and then I would just fall off and I wasn't able to create any consistency. It took me down a road where, you know, I got addicted to the negative things. I got linked in with the wrong types of people. And basically, I was just, like, going nowhere fast. And I was getting older. I wanted to have a family when I was young, and it never happened. So I was kind of depressed in that level. Thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go on cell phones or just go and do some retail or customer service and just find a nice place to die. Basically, it was what I was looking at. Then my friend comes in and is a mutual friend of Clinton ours. And he basically was, like, showing off his success. I was getting fired for, like, the 30th time, where he was leaving his job forever to go and explore entrepreneurship. So I was like, you know what? If you can't beat him, join him. And I got involved in direct sales. And that was a really scary thing because I obviously had an employee mindset. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't quite the best. I was like, haha, no boss. And then I skipped the day when I was like, well, your calendar's your boss. If it's blank, it just doesn't pay you. So I was kind of like living free on debt. And about 6 or 7 months later, he's like, dude, you're missing the secret ingredient. You got to talk to this numerology stuff. So I was like, okay. And they basically went in. I was like, okay, well, I'm a spiritual kind of guy. So I learned this and I was like, jaws dropped for like 4 days, like looking off into the distance, being like, what did I just find? This person knew me, everything about me, all of this stuff I hadn't even said to myself. Like stuff that was like, I was like, whoa, hey, what are you talking about there? And that feeling is so invasive. And I opened up to this. I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. But it basically detailed the inner workings of myself that I hadn't even had the power to recognize why I self-abused, why I didn't speak up, why I had a lot of challenge, or why I was never consistent, super lazy and all this stuff. And then the desire to want to do something big, the value of wanting to have a large spirituality. And so I tweaked my name. And I tweaked my name. I put this extra letter F in there. And imagine, you know, your feeling when you were working with me the other day. I talked to people and this, I'm kind of skeptical at the same time. So she's like, oh, you have a choice of the letter Q, the letter Z, or the letter X, or the letter, I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to show up? Bobby Z or Bobby Q? Or I was like, it doesn't make any sense. And then my middle name is Francisco. So I'm like, give me the F. I'll take the F. So that's an authentic name. And it unlocked three big things that I was looking for in my life. The ability to have a business, the ability to go down deep spiritually, and the ability to have a family. And this is what numerology does for us. We get a chance to take the ingredients that we want and start cooking with them and make the life we want, as opposed to, you know, dealing with the cards that God dealt us. And that's that feeling there. So I found this information, sat on it for a little while, started doing anything. If you want to make money out there, do it for free. So I basically started reading people's numbers for about a year. And then I started to realize I'm working all the time. I'm not making my way. And then I spend all my free time telling people about themselves. My friends were like, why don't you start your own business around this? And I did. And it was unbelievable because it took me across the world. It started to change my life. I got engaged. I got a little baby boy now. I live in the dream. And I, at the end of achieving your dreams, you know, if you've ever done this, you're like, well, I should have dreamed bigger and now I'm going to. And so it was a transition there, but I basically turned my life around. This is like a few years ago now. But unbelievable. Yeah, hopefully that's me in a nutshell.
So look, I'm going to put it out there that there's a bunch of people listening to this right now that are skeptical, that are just going, Barry, WTF, like, who is this guy that you brought onto the podcast? Like, who is this guy talking about adding an initial to their name and, like, completely upgrading their life? And I want to dive into it because we actually had a call the other day. So after speaking with Clint, I was like, I just got to suss this guy out. And I'm happy to share my experience with those that are watching, listening in a moment. Before we do, though, like, how soon was it after you met this woman and had this initial added to your name, did you start to notice changes come through?
About 3 years. I'll be fair. You lived 30 years on this planet being in a self-defeating and a really miserable place. You're probably not going to fit it right there at the instant moment you take the name. And some people, like yourself, was like, dude, I feel it right now. And like this change in the flow of energy and all this stuff, I'm like, man, I was so lucky. And that feeling is you're getting this late in the game. You're already an accomplished business person, so I really appreciate that. But you've done the hard work. This got me out of the mud. I still had to get off of the start and actually get moving forward. I felt the shift, but I didn't actually embody this stuff until about almost 3 years later. Like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I want to probably share with people a little bit of my personal experience over the last month, just of how this kind of come about. So I'm a very spiritual guy. I have been for maybe 11, 12 years now, diving deep into spirituality, into mindset, into psychology, and just understanding how we operate as human beings on the unconscious and subconscious level. And I was having a conversation with my partner only 2 or 3 days before I had an interview with Clint. Now, me and Clint have been trying to tee up an interview for a couple of months and just never quite worked. A couple of days prior to the interview, I was having a conversation with her and I was sharing that this realization that I'd had that back at high school, I only just had this realization, back in high school, I used to dumb myself down to fit in. So I was incredibly intelligent, but never knew that at the time. All I knew was I didn't fit in with social norms. And so what I realized I'd done is I'd dumbed myself down, created a bunch of learning difficulties to fit in, or try to attempt to fit in with society. But it's like a zebra trying to fit in with a herd of horses, right? There's a difference. And that learning difficulty played out through my life, and I believe that there was a learning difficulty. And what would happen is that in my early teens, I started smoking a lot of cannabis. And what would happen is when I was high, I would like switch on and be this super intelligent guy. And I had this ability to solve like complex issues. And my friends used to always thought it was the weed. And I kind of always thought it was the weed as well. And I had this realization the other day when I was thinking, you know, deeply about life, about childhood, about where I'm at and where I want to go. And what I realized is that I don't have any learning difficulties. I created them to fit in. And I was like, wow, like what was it that stopped me from being who I really was back then? And I was having a chat and I was like, oh, had this bit of a breakthrough, this epiphany. And I said to Jess, I was like, hey, maybe I should change my middle name to like Newton, right? Or Einstein, you know? And I was like, oh, Barry Newton Magliditti. I was like, oh, wow, I feel smarter already, right? It was the weirdest thing, but there was something in it. And then sure enough, like a day or 2 days later, I get on this interview with Clint and he shares the experience he went through. And I was like, there's no coincidence in that. Like I've been around long enough to realize that there's no coincidences in life. You know, things coincide with one another and it's worthwhile following the thread when it starts to get pulled open. And so I was like, hey, let me just chat to this guy. Who knows? Like it might be good for a laugh. And obviously we connected, hit things off. We're on a call the day later. And you went through it and all you'd asked me for was my name, my number, no, my name and my birth date. And I sat there for 45 minutes in awe as you, depiculated and shared with me my experience of life for the last 33 years. And, you know, like you shared before, I'm quite open and quite conscious and quite self-aware. And so a lot of it wasn't necessarily new, yet it was explained in such a way that I'd never realized before and allowed things to make a lot more sense. And so, you know, I suppose I just wanted to share my story with the people out there to let us know where we're at. And, you know, going through that process with you, I was just unbelievably impressed at how accurate the information was that you knew about me and all that, like we'd never met before, right? This is the second time we've ever met. All you knew about me was my name and my date of birth. And yet you could explain to a T the struggles and the challenges and the experiences and what I've been through. Like it is unbelievably uncanny. So like, how'd you go about learning this stuff? Like give us a bit more around the philosophies and the understanding behind numerology.
Okay, so we're gonna have to really step back for this one, but imagine that you got a color of rainbows on a palette and you're a painter and you take like red and blue and you put them together and they become purple. The same thing with numerology, numbers hold definitions. So we see one for leadership all the way to 9, which is the opposite of the self, the selfless. And throughout this journey, numbers go through an awakening of itself in partnership, or an awakening of itself in children, or hard work, or stabilization, or maybe some chaos, spirituality, like all of these different topics start to show up. Wealth starts to show up. Like, that's another like ingredient of things that show up, is that law of attraction, the ability to be there to help someone create something in their life without you having to do it yourself. It's that wizard-like information. So we see this array of personality types that are all linked into numbers. And then we're like, okay, cool. So that's pretty neat. And then we look at your birthday. There's 4 numbers. We look at your names. There's like 30 numbers in there. It really starts to paint a picture of where Barry shows up for fun, where Barry doesn't show up, where he wishes he could, what he does in the meantime. A bunch of these different little houses or rooms in the house of your being start to show up for you, and we get a chance to paint the picture around you. So it could show up in like, hey, I like to go outward in a negative fashion, where I just say what's on my mind and I usually hurt people with that. Or I could say what's on my mind and help lift people with that. Maybe I want to go inward and think of myself like I'm good and disconnect from others. Or maybe I go inward and I don't feel good about myself and I feel negative towards me while I feel the best for everyone else. Where is your ego? Where is your challenge? Where's your identity? Where's your character, your personality? Where does it show up inside of your name? It's like, it's so weird. Like, when you said that, I'm like, man, it's nuts. Because it is. It's so strange. And I'm looking at this like, where did this even come from? It's tough, but like, I'm pretty sure it comes from the plant. It comes from the, you know, and not that plant. It comes from like the nature or like the trees. Like, you see it, and we see all trees look alike. All cars have 4 wheels. All roads look like the ground. Like, there's all a bunch of different standardizations we have about algorithms that show up in the planet. Like, if you saw a laptop, you'd probably know what it looked like or what it was, because they take a form. So the same thing happens with these numbers. When they take form in your life, they start to tell a story about you, and it's like the most validating, most incredible experience that anyone could ever have. People brought to tears, and they go on to make millions, and some people don't do anything. And I can't say it's going to save you, but it will absolutely get you back on the track. So, you know, realistically, where does it come from? I have no idea. It feels like we're like a computer program, like we're some sort of algorithm on some sort of code screen, and we're like, all right, execute. And then suddenly we come in with a, we vibrate at this level, and then you get a chance to find this hack room that says, let's upgrade your vibration. Do you like what this story says? Some of my clients don't take names because they're like, I look good, I don't mind. And some people are like, you got to help me because I can't keep my life together. And this is where we get a chance to see, are you abstract or are you a fine hand, you know, a fine piece of work that's masterfully created? Or are you just like a splat on the wall and an expression of aggression or an unconsciousness? Some people have it really, really powerful in life. And some of us are like, oh, they have it so lucky. So yeah, it's like the luck of the draw, right? Those fittest survive. This is like, I don't even know. Sorry, I'll let you go.
No. So did you study like algebra or calculus or something at school to like get how the numbers connected and work together?
It was more like learning a language. It's more like learning a language. Like, you learn the letters, you learn where they work, fit in words, words fit into sentences, sentences fit into paragraphs. And so then you can start illustrating emotion to people. But a basic level of addition is all that I had. In math, I failed math 10. And then I went on to score really well in business math. And I like counting money. And then next thing you know, it's like, okay. But when it comes to calculus, algebra, I have to sort of think, because I'm not really too keen on that. But this is like the algorithm of a lifetime. This, I count weird now. Like, if 6 plus 6 equals 12, I take 1 plus 2 and back down to 3. So when I told my mom's like, my wife's like, tell it, like my daughter, what's 6 times 2? And she's like, 3. And I'm like, good answer. Because that's what 12 is when you combine it. 6 plus 6 is 12. 1 plus 2 is 3. I'm like, that's how daddy counts. You don't need to just forget about that. Let's go back to what it should be as 12. But this is what I'm doing, is I'm reducing things down to its primary, Pythagorean numerology. Yeah. This is what I study.
Yeah. And tell me, like, I remember years ago, I remember many, many years ago, I had my numbers done by this old school numerologist, and it was like sketched out on an A3, and like it was all different pretty pictures and shapes and everything else, and it was timeline. And one thing that I always thought, and I'm sure a lot of other people thought about as well, is like, you know, we talk about power of manifestation, right? And where our focus, you know, focus goes, our energy flows and our results show, right? How much of this do you believe is simply, you know, opening somebody's attention to a possibility, installing some sort of belief? Like if you see someone that's down and out, like I've often thought in the past that our roles as coaches sometimes, most of the work's done when you just have a great belief in the client you're working with. You have a great belief they're available, and that something inside of them is available to achieve far more than what they've had. That belief in them alone installs belief in them. Mm-hmm. Like how much of this is that versus physically actually rewiring who we are right here in this moment now?
I'd like to say it's a solid 50-50. As a coach and as someone who wants to speak greatness into someone, I pride myself on seeing the most highest ability for their numbers to express themselves. I don't sell someone halfway their dream or say, you know, you're probably go halfway with it. I'm like, let's go full out. I'm absolutely wanting to see some power from you. And in reality, I do, because I want to, I recognize we are what we see and we are what we give. So if I choose to see the best in others, it's because I want the universe to see the best in me. So I understand about installing that belief, and that can save someone's life. At the other end, the validation of what's happening, and people are like, dude, how do you even know this? Like, I don't even know you, and yet you're reading my life as if you know me. And that's what gets them listening, to be like, I'm gonna let you install whatever the hell you want in my head. Like, what do you got? And that feeling is then like, okay, now that I've bypassed some of the triggers, let's make sure that you're going to be wealthy, you're loved, you're powerful, you can express yourself, and all of those things in personal development guru land are being installed in people with the best intention, because I want that validation for me in my life. I want the world to see the best in me and not the worst in me. So it's very egoic and selfish in that one level. But at the same time, for any of you guys who believe in God or spirituality or a higher hand, I believe I will be judged by that. And I want to stand up and be like, absolutely, absolutely, I saw the best in this person. I didn't commit to who they were based on their faults. What they've done doesn't define their future. And their future should be at the highest level to think this is what you could, this is where you could. Doesn't mean everyone I talk to is going to go and do something with it. And some people are like, oh, the name didn't work. And I'm like, that's probably why. But yet, it's just rely on a name to suddenly take you to a different place. You want to have to get to a different place. So I've done some pretty crazy conversations and places where I have to disclaim, hey, I'm not a trained psychologist, or I'm not some sort of like counselor of any kind. I'm just giving you insight based on when the numbers show up. And it seems to hold. So I like to think it's a solid 50-50. But I also feel like there's a guided hand. Like there's, I'm a spiritual guy to think I was supposed to do this. I'm like supposed to do something for people, you know?
It's a good insight. And I suppose, it works into something that I learned or discovered many, many years ago. And this is this whole cognitive dissonance that we have between like the us and the true us, like our true self, our true essence, our spark of source energy, essentially. And it's that if you're out there in the world and you have stuck towards, you have negative emotion towards others that perceivably have something that you don't, how can we ever expect to have that for us? Like if we're out there and if we're hating on someone that we feel has more money than us or more success than us or a better relationship, how can we then congruently go and create that experience for ourselves in our life? Because it's cognitive dissonance. We can't repel and push away something externally, but then expect to have it internally. Like it's all connected. The perception of reality is real than reality itself. So who we are inside of us, it's who we are outside of us. And it's like if you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. So if we get squeezed by life, what comes out is what's already inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, in order for us to transform and to change and to seek higher levels of consciousness and become, you know, higher, greater, better versions of ourselves, it all starts within working with our inner game, right?
It's really tough though, because when your parents have you, there's no instruction manual for parents. You're usually pretty young. It's a massive transition. And that first 5 critical years of your life where your personality is forming is creating this cognitive dissonance where it's like, oh, I need to be liked, or I need to achieve, or something needs to happen. And we get pushed into what society wants to feel with this. And I'm definitely afraid of my 6-year-old because I don't want to squash on her. I want her to see her grow because I know what that feels like. to be squashed to the point where you got to hire people to help you get unsquashed when you're an adult. But yeah, what you're saying, you're nailing it right on the head. And yeah, I like to think that I'm part of the cognitive resonance.
Yeah,
I don't know how you would call that.
What I really enjoyed about our sessions, and it's similar to some of the spiritual teachers that I work with as well, is that it wasn't so much instilling upon me something or teaching me something or giving me something or even painting the picture of where I'm going. It was more so reviewing the timeline of birth to age 33 right now, and understanding at a different perspective, at a different level, of who I really am. And what I personally found in that and in past work that I've done is that when we can truly start to accept who we are right now in this present moment, it allows us to accept that next version of us. It allows us to accept what is there. It's like that old saying of what we resist persists. Mm-hmm. And if we're not willing to in many ways be okay with those parts of ourselves that we don't like, how can we truly be okay with the parts of ourselves that we do like? Like, we don't get a chance to choose. We don't say, hey, I enjoy my right arm more than my left arm, so I'm just going to use that. Like, we're built that the right arm has to talk to the left arm, and same true does us of our emotional state and our cognitive functioning. And this has been really something that I've worked on for a long time now, and will probably continue to work on for the rest of my life, is how can I find those excluded parts of myself and be okay with those? Mm-hmm. Those parts that I've excluded, or those parts that have allowed society to exclude within me, they're still parts of me. And it's almost like that nagging kid, is at the moment that you stop and listen to them, they stop whinging, they stop complaining, they stop nagging. But the more you push them away, right, the more that they carry on. And I found that certainly within myself. What do you think has been fundamental for you to be where you are right now in your journey? Like, let's be honest, it's more than just changing an initial on your name, right? That was like that part of the hero's journey, right? That was that defining moment. But if you look over the last couple of years, like, what do you think has been like the key to your transformation?
That's a really tough one. I think it started with the reality of, like, it's not, like, I guess the feeling of, it's not my fault that I turned out the way that I did. It's in my numbers. That quality of awareness showed up to think that, hey, the stuff that I am shows up somewhere externally, and I get a chance to move that. I've always been a salesperson very young, and I remember as a persistent thought as a kid, I was conceiving different ways to work from home so that I could raise my family myself, because I wanted to be a hands-on dad. And as I continued to go through job to job to job, it was getting further and further away from me. So I guess one of the biggest investments in my transformation started when I was really, really young, where I wanted to, like, be the loving parent or the loving family or the loving person for my kids that I felt like I didn't get. And nothing to say about my parents, they're awesome, amazing, but they were still young as well too. And that was back in the 80s where things were a little different. So the thing I figure now is that I wanted so much to defy against, you know, my snotty little nose kid or upbringing as a little tiny brat. And I wanted to bring that back to my, now here I am as an adult, and I got my own snotty nose little brats who are just testing me, and it's forcing me to grow even higher than that. But one of the biggest, I could boil it down to a few different points. I was doing a lot of drugs because I was depressed. And then when I met someone who didn't depress me anymore, I told them about my you know, colorful history, and then they broke up with me. And then at that point, I recognized I need to tell everybody and see who else wants to break up with me. I don't want to have fake relationships in my life. I want my parents to know, and I basically gave everybody heart attacks by coming clean about my addiction, because it hadn't taken me at that point. I was just rapidly declining. And so that was another one where I basically stood up for myself, and I'm like, if I want real relationships, I have to, like, a family one day and a real woman that's going to be with me, I have to get real with myself that I can't take these kinds of things with me. And I have to endure the pain instead of numb it out. And that was like the sobering thought, I guess, if you will.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's really interesting what you share there, because I could see that a lot of people would have done the opposite of that. You know, they share that colorful part of themselves. They have someone break up with them, and that lets them know, hey, based on their past conditioning, hey, I can't be who I'm here to be. And I love that you know, you did the opposite of that and really owned that and went, well, hang on a second. I need to be me. I need to show up as me right now in the world, right? Because everyone else is already taken. And so in order for me to show up as me, I need to share with everyone who I really am, that side of me they may not know. and allow those that choose to break up with me, and those who choose to be there with me. Yeah. Powerful, dude.
Absolutely. And I recognize I even went through that entire experience to gain that credibility, that validity that I actually know where you've been. I know that. And then even to think, when I looked at your chart, I'm like, you're going to want to have fun and dumb yourself down. You're like, dude, I used to smoke a lot of weed. And that feeling was there to think, we do this. We do this all the time to ourselves. But yeah. I didn't want to let that continue. That's when I get one of those in the background, it's like spiritual being saying ding, ding. So it's funny because I muted all my stuff, but the fact that it came in from the background makes me feel like we're on the right track. You know, like something wants to acknowledge that. So that was not planned.
This is the thing, is that life is always giving us signs. Life is always giving us indicators that we're you know, either moving towards that will, you know, allow us to experience more opulence in life, or moving away from that. You know, we're either moving towards pleasure or moving away from pain in many ways. Yet I just think that so many people are just walking around asleep. You know, they're walking around just dealing with life as it is. And I would believe that the people that are watching or listening to this today aren't those people. The people who are watching this today are people that, you know, are having their own comeback game. They're having their own comeback story, or they've maybe been through one. They're looking to what that next one looks like. If you dive back into, you know, your life from conception, birth, to where you are now, what do you think is the biggest challenge that you've had to go through to get to where you are today?
Probably my need to be liked, or my need to be accepted, my need to be acknowledged or validated. It turned me into someone who has had a very addictive personality, like addicted to love or addicted to pleasure, addicted to drugs. And that was one of the biggest challenges that I had to really face, was that the vision I had for myself was quickly declining, and I had to come up with a new, better one. But I was just stubborn committed to like success. But that was the biggest challenge, was that really strong feeling of like, I need everybody's approval. And that's why when I work with people, I'm like, make sure you post something nice. You know, I still bring it to this day today. They're like, oh my God, Bobby changed my life. And I'm like, man, see, this is why I do what I do. And then someone's like, oh, I didn't feel it. And I get all defensive and I'm like, what do you mean? Well, come back here. I'll give you another free session. And this feeling is like, I want to make sure that I do good for others, which is tough. And I lean back on my numbers. My ego is invested in the response of others. I'm in this duality because I'm a life path 2 or a life path 11. So I look at the world as if it should reflect me. And so I want to raise my reflection so I can raise the level of reflection I live in.
Mm. Yeah, great. What do you feel is been like, if you were to go back and have a conversation with a 6-year-old version of you, right? If you were to go back and speak to little Bobby, what advice would you give him based on all the experience you've had so far to date?
Oh, man. I would probably like, keep going. It's okay. I got you. We're going to make it one day. You know, at 6, things were a little strange for me. So I would basically just be the older brother to myself that I always wanted. And I always wanted to be an older brother and have a brother and be a big brother. And this relationship I wanted with my dad, right? So I have done this because, you know, you hire people to go do regressions and like timeline therapies and stuff, where they say, find your 6-year-old and tell them what you really want to say. Right. And it's like, I got you. We got this. We're going to look at my house. Look at all the toys I have. Look at all the people around me now. Look at everyone likes us now. Like, see, it's not going to be the way that you think, or that the pain that you experience, people are going to really want to be with you, and they're going to really like, they're going to line up to see you. And like, that should make me. And that's that, sweet, that connection point between me and my little child, because I'm still there. And I even posted a picture the other day. I'm like, my son was the reason why I never grew up, and yet the exact same reason why I had to. And so this feeling is inside of my life to think, man, I keep that inner child with me, like right here. And so, yeah, it's a pretty easy question to answer.
Yeah, awesome. Love that. Why do you feel that it would be important for people to like understand their numbers and understand their chart? Because this might be, to some of the guys listening, this might be a relatively old concept. Maybe they've logged online for one of those free numerology readings. For some of the guys out there, this might be completely new and never heard of before. Like, why do you think it's important that someone to understand their numbers and their charts? And
First thing was that, like that thing we were talking about before, that 50-50, like I see the best in people, and that's really what a lot of people need, is to help someone else install some programs in them. And then the other side of this starts to speak to this, you should know who you are. And you do, obviously, you wake up every day inside of yourself, but to know that these things are existing inside of your chart, it's like, you know, every parent says this, I wish you came with an instruction manual. Like, why can't I just figure them out? Like, I don't know what to do here. And to think, actually, it's right here. Like, no, the instruction manual is right here. And we can't be blind to that. And I like to think the cognitive dissonance is so strong that religion hides this. You know, certain cultures praise this. Certain cultures, like, don't touch it. And there are different levels of awareness inside of this. Some people are like, oh, this is astrology stuff. Even my brand was like, my brand guys, like, here's your astrology logos. I'm like, we've been talking about numerology this entire time. Now we're in the final stage. You're going to call me astrology? Like, what's going on here? And that's what people do. They kind of link it into that woo-woo or this. And I'm like, trust me, give me any skeptical person, I will give them a confusion. They will be questioning life after. And I do that. People are like, I'm only here because my wife made me do this. And I'm like, it's okay. I got you. And I basically tell the numbers. And after, like, wow. No, this is crazy. This is nuts. And you've even had people being like, you told him this, didn't you? You told him stuff about me, and that's why he knows all this. And I'm like, wow, that's good. That's real good. Because I nailed it so well. And this person's like, no, I'm not convinced. This is a joke. I'm getting punked. So knowing yourself, like Confucius say, I'm going to make sure I get this one right, that mightiest is the warrior who conquers himself. And Lao Tzu says that the war is won in the mind before it's ever won on the battlefield. And there is nothing that, like, when you know who you are, you know your weak spots, you know your strength, you know your own vibration of how you exist in this planet. It's like one of the most powerful things you'll actually, I tell people, like, hands down, this is the most important thing you're ever going to learn. And if you don't, as a parent to your children or to yourself as you, you're missing a really, like, you're missing the subtitles. And sometimes we can't hear. We have to actually see the script.
Yeah, I love that. That, you know, human beings, we weren't born with an instruction manual. And this is definitely one part to play in understanding who we really are. And in many ways too, like what we're here to do, like I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, what's my purpose? There's a kind of big buzzword, like, what's my purpose? What should I be doing right now? It should be something grand and big and massive and amazing. And, you know, often they just haven't stopped and spent the time to really go inwards within themselves.
That's a question I get all the time.
What's my purpose?
Yeah, like, I'm like, I've got a question on my form when someone books in with me, and I'm like, so what's the purpose of our meeting? And they're like, what's my purpose? I'm like, okay, I can nail it, but at the same time, that's a curiosity. A lot of people have that question.
Yeah. What's your grand vision? Like, where do you see yourself in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Books, stages, events, retreats, programs. Man, I teach a lot of people. I work with people. I help organizations, teams. Man, I've lived in this for so long, and that's why I know it's going to happen for sure. But like, whether we're in Bali or we're somewhere else in the world, or, you know, South America, we're going to do this in the Philippines as well. We want to help people. And I want people to understand that there is a finer level of language. So I train other numerologists. I train families. I help people get Minority Report. You know that Tom Cruise movie, they'll go back in time and prevent the crime. So it's the same feeling that I'm doing. People is like, let's cement the road that no longer exists, and let's get you on the right path. Because I feel like that's what we're supposed to do. Like, raise the consciousness, help people through tough times, you know, help people grow into that utopia that we're supposed to be building. It feels kind of like Terminator. I'm coming back into time to save humanity. So there's this feeling that I want to do this for the planet. And that's why I need help like yours. I need to get to more audiences. I need to find more people to help and more people to talk to. It's grown because now I'm doing groups, so I know I'm going into the right direction. But I got my own podcast coming as well. I'm going to be right next to you there. We're going to be doing the back and forth on iTunes. I want to have programs, retreats, all the good stuff, man. Like, it's just my dream and my vision to do that.
It's always fascinating to me meeting people like yourself that literally work with thousands of people around the world and yet seemingly unknown. You know, some of my greatest mentors, you know, I've got audiences of hundreds of thousands of people, and yet they've never run a Facebook ad. They've got no Facebook group. They haven't even got a social profile. A lot of these people, and they've just made such a massive impact because what they do resonates to the core so deeply. And people wake up and people feel that. And so You know, that being said, anyone who's on watching this today and or listening this today and wants to kind of find you, get in touch, how's the best way for them to do that?
Facebook. Yeah, Bobby F. Parihar. It's basically B-O-B-B-Y-F. P-A-R-I-H-A-R, and then you'll see me and my wife, and then basically you just message me. I got a bunch of pages, bobbyfparihar.xyz. You can go into my like, and basically it's the best way to connect with me right now. I'm in the process of rebranding. So connecting with me personally as opposed to a place would be the most efficient. But yeah, Facebook Messenger, drop me a friend request, follow me. I think I'll make space for your friends, for sure. For your audience, for sure.
Yeah. And like, if you were to leave the viewers and listeners with one piece of advice today or something to kind of to think on, what would that be?
You're in control. You're absolutely in control of your destiny, your fate. You get to decide whatever it is you want in life. Like, there is no question about this. You're absolutely in power and in control to choose the destiny you want. There's a trillion, billion different multiverse theories. You get to pick the one you want and go with it with magnetic violence flow. Like, boom, nothing's going to stop me. And I absolutely believe on that. And I absolutely, like, this is why I do what I do. So please don't forget that. Because next thing you know, your mom, your dad, your friends, you can't do this. Oh, you're crazy. You're one of those. You got into this thing. All of that stuff is going to be like, what happened to me? I need to be light, so I might as well just hide. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to hide anymore. I'm not going to hide anymore. And so I inspire other people to do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby F, it's been an absolute pleasure, man, to have you on the show today. I trust that the viewers and listeners have got a lot out of it. Let us know, like hit us up with a comment below, share this with your friends, tag them in there. Let us know, what did you get out of this episode? Like, what was the game changer for you? What was the part of this you can take and put into your own comeback game? And hey, if you want to reach out to Bobby, hit him up on Facebook. Otherwise, feel free to hit us up and we'll be more happy to send you through his details. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Love the work you do.